Welcome back to the Cold Stove Podcast. I'm your host from lovely Austin, Texas, Brett Merriman. In front of me from parts unknown, the one and only NHL Rumors Daily, NRD. What's going on with you today, my friend?
What is up, Brett? Parts unknown for maybe not much longer. We'll see.
Wow. Okay.
We'll see. But parts unknown. There. Parts unknown for now. That is what is known as a tease in the business. Doing well. Exciting week of hockey. I've been very curious to see after last night how you're holding up. So we'll get to that in a minute. But
I just have no idea what you're talking about. Couldn't put a finger on it.
Know that my week and how it went was directly tied to last night's outcome. Mm. And now I'm very interested, you know, to see how my week will continue and progress after we discuss this.
So, you know what? We might get into it at some point in the podcast. I don't know.
Well, we're on a podcast.
We couldn't.
Wouldn't do us any harm.
Austin, Texas has been 80-something degrees all week. We have our first cold front coming in right now. And your boy is psyched. Like highs, not in the 60s, like highs in the 40s coming in. Ooh, so that. Tomorrow, a little Texas TCU tomorrow. I might be there, might not be, but probably will be. It's going to be cold and chilly for college football. I'm excited. So and then it's like extended over the whole week. So usually one will come in, it'll be like 65 for a day, be kind of nice and muddy or whatever. No, we're getting crispy. Crispy season down here in Texas. Very exciting. And you're right. Good week of hockey. Last night might have been I might have been offline a little bit. Yeah. Might have been watching some intramural volleyball. Perhaps I had a game of my own last night. Oh, this is bad radio. I got fucking slashed last night, NRD, and you can't really see it, but I'm getting like, I have a full on welt going on in my arm here. Oof. So shouts to Kohler over there. Fucking keep your stick in check, Kohler.
There, listen, when Brett talks about his Brett Merriman All-Star team, he emulates on the ice exactly what he likes his team to do.
Right.
He's in the corners. He's mucking it up. Brett's an all-around player, let's be honest. If you were building, you know, you go into the NHL video game and you build your player type, Brett's a grinder. Brett's a two-way forward, maybe to a grinder status.
Two-way, that's probably the perfect way to put it. Two-way forward, I can dish, I'm fast, hands leave something to be desired. I shoot into the goalie's chest a lot, but I do take a lot of shots. So my Corsi would be great, and my like expected goals would be just abysmal.
You'd be in... oxymoron in the analytics community.
Dude, I had a breakaway last night. Like, blocked a shot from the point in the D zone off my shin pad and, like, perfect breakaway. And I kicked. Like, I did the right foot in the air.
You did the donkey kick?
Yes, I did the donkey kick. And then went to fake backhand, and the puck rolled up on my stick and just, like, trickled into the corner. It was ugly, NRD.
That's known as a Bo Horvat in the business now.
It was ugly, ugly, ugly. And all the boys around the board just like banging the stick like, Merriman! Ugly scene. Ugly scene. And we got our first loss of the year. We were 8-0-1 going into last night. Picked up the L, unfortunately.
You just tell them you were trying to do the Kucherov when you go to the bench.
It was one of those things that was such a surprise. That I was like skating. I was so all alone, and just too many thoughts. I was like, what am I going to do? I had no, like, I have no default breakaway move. And so I was just like, I'm going to kick, fake shot, backhand, roof. Kind of Datsuk a little bit.
Yeah.
Didn't work out that way. I'm just going to keep it simple next time. Try to fake, go five hole, and call it a day.
Question. Last question on the subject.
Sure.
Did you play that in your mind as you were skating down towards the net?
Yeah.
You had those visions in your head of scenarios, the donkey kick to the backhand, top shelf.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. It was, and even if I didn't roof it, it was just donkey kick, fake shot, go backhand, roof it, or just go over the goalie's shoulder. Bad. It
were
was
you
bad.
Thinking, were think you thinking actually, about your celly? Were you thinking about your celly after you scored?
You don't celly in this league very much. But you know what? There's a thing called like Live Barn or something now that your parents can like watch you practice from home or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. There might be footage of this. I'm going to have to go try to find it.
I would love that. And if we can get it, It will be up on all of the Cold Stove socials. I will put it up on NRD. I will make sure it gets seen everywhere you've absorbed your visual content.
I may have to go try to find this. Okay. That'll be for after the podcast. But what else? That's enough about me, NRD. What else is going on? What intrigues you in the NHL right now? Last night, obviously, was interesting. The Devils are still interesting, right? There's a couple injuries. Zach Werenski in Columbus, unfortunately done for the year as of this morning with a torn labrum. He now joins the club of arthroscopic surgery for torn labrums with your boy after his sophomore year season of football. But what intrigues you right now? What do you want to dig into?
You know, there's the obvious. When you talk about you having a breakaway last night, there was another guy in the NHL who had two breakaways last night, didn't score on either, but then turned around and scored three last night against a former club somewhere in Western New York.
Was that like Bo Horvat, or was that like, Trevor Zegras? No, it's Jack Eichel. Yeah. I know what happened. I didn't watch any of the game. I want to get out in front of this. I didn't watch the game. I had prior engagements and a hockey game of my own, so I didn't watch the game. But rest assured, the texts and the tweets were certainly hitting my phone. So I followed along on social as much as I could. He was due. He's playing so well. And listeners of this show know I'm a Jack guy. Like, no, I didn't want him to leave. No, I know buddies of his. I'm a Jack guy. I don't follow the douchebag narrative because I know him a little more personally than maybe some people in the media, perhaps. Mm-hmm. So I have and always have been rooting for him. And he was due to come in fully healthy on a team that's playing excellent hockey right now and just whip it. He was unbelievable. And in the highlights I've seen, it was the breakaways were funny, though. You hear the crowd just go nuts when he's stoned on a breakaway.
And he went for the same move twice on both breakaways. And I thought, after the second one.
Let's get those highlights and we'll splice in mine. In the middle
we'll
of that?
We'll split them. We'll do a little split screen action of it. I could pull that off. I think I can get on the ones and twos and make that happen. I honestly thought after both those breakaway misses, I was like, okay, it's going to be a fun game, right? Because Jack's going to be snake bitten. He's not going to be able to score in Buffalo. They're going to ride him all night. And then, you know, he gets an easy one. The first goal was a wide open net.
Quite the
big, the big monkey off the back celebration. You know, how you like me now? Are you not entertained? I think Brian Boucher said. But you know, after that, second goal beats Comrie low, and the third goal is an empty netter from behind the goal line, which is pretty impressive. You know, and it's a fitting conclusion because, like you said, you're a Jack fan. Many people, you know, that root for the Buffalo Sabres team share that same sentiment because they don't necessarily root for the organization. They root for the 23 on the ice wearing that sweater. And I think that was a lot of the sentiment that you heard after the fact for some Buffalo fans, you know, in the social space last night was, you know, we're booing him because it's fun and it's that rivalry and that give and take, that back and forth. But really, you know, we blame the people who were responsible for screwing him over with his surgery choice and whatnot for him actually leaving. Granted, he had his issues with the organization before that, but still. Correct. So I think it's a nice end to like, all right, he came in last year. Still kind of nursing that injury. Vegas wasn't good. Didn't have any line mates to play with. Cody Eakin's doing the whole neck thing, making fun of him. The crowd gets on him. He goes ice cold. And then tonight, he comes out, scores the hat trick, gets one back at the Buffalo fans. And I think at this point now, yeah, they'll still boo him. Because if I know anything about, you know, the Western New York folks out there, they're a very passionate group of fans. But I think we can settle down now, simmer down now. As they say, this trade worked for both teams, and I think both parties can move forward.
I think that's probably the most balanced, fair take you can have, which I agree with. It's the Sabres got him last year in Buffalo. He got us this year in Buffalo. Like it's kind of fitting, and I'm glad there is a little bit of a rivalry. I was kind of critiquing the rivalry last year. Like, well, come on, like what are we doing here? We ran him out of town. Like. He's pissed off, rightfully. Like there was just a lot of weird. Now it's become fun. I think enough time has passed. He's healthy and playing well, so it's a little easier to have more fun with it. And the Sabres are good, so it's not the fans aren't in a terrible mindset, right? So it has become more of a fun rivalry, and I think I will enjoy that moving forward. So hand up, I was wrong on like the let's quit the rivalry stuff. I think it'll be fun.
It's a little, you know, to a cross-sport analogy here, if anybody saw the Michael Jordan doc, The Last Dance, it's more similar to the MJ Larry Bird rivalry, the whole hug each other, you bitch, fuck you kind of rivalry, than the MJ Isaiah Thomas rivalry, where there is true hatred there and bad blood between both parties.
Look at NRD. Look at the range on this guy. Listen, he can go 80s, 70s, 90s.
NRD is omnipresent, man. You have parts unknown. I could be there. I could be elsewhere.
So they have to change your name from NHL Rumors Daily to just Rumors Daily, RD. The last thing I'll say on the Sabres thing, that was a fun night last night. They were in the game by all accounts of the stats I was looking at afterwards, and it wasn't a blowout by any means. Like, Vegas is a very good team. Buffalo's going to be fine. I'm going to withhold judgment on Buffalo's current kind of skid, I guess you can call it, which they've been in every game. It's none of them. The Arizona game was nasty, but like, they lost 4-1. Two skates were hit. Posts were hit. Like, it was just one of those weird bounce games where nothing goes your way, and they won all of the shot shares and you know, analytics. So is that's just like, burn the tape. That's not our game. We didn't get the result we were supposed to. Whatever. Same thing. Vegas, same thing. That's a great team. Outplayed him at times, but we're very much within the game. And all I'll say finally on Buffalo is I'm withholding judgment until they have their three of their top four defensemen back in the lineup. Yeah. We're playing with guys that are not their rotation. So by all accounts, Joakim Haru is coming back soon. He took a puck to the face. Really, really bad incident a couple weeks ago. He'll be back soon. Samuelson's getting closer too. He had a knee injury that looked really bad. Was not as bad as feared. He's skating again, so that'll be good. Dahlin's obviously been awesome. Power's been great for a 19-year-old kid turning 20 next week. So I'm excited about them. We've got to figure some stuff out with Casey Mittelstadt, perhaps. Jack Quinn, healthy scratched after having a pretty good start to the season. Paterka's a bombshell. So, like, they'll be fine. So I'm going to withhold judgment until they're a healthy team. And I realize that nobody's healthy, right? Like, Werenski, done for the year. All of a sudden, Columbus, any momentum they have
is now stopped. I mean, not that they had much momentum to begin with.
Right.
But yeah.
Just the most recent example in my head, right? And so it's like, what is Colorado? We'll know when Landeskog's back. And what is New Jersey, really? We'll know when Blackwood's back. So I realize a lot of teams can say that, but that's me. That's my Buffalo soapbox right now.
Since you mentioned Columbus and Werenski, it just kind of popped into my head. Like, did Johnny Gaudreau sign there a little too early? Like, because I don't think Columbus is a bad team. Like, Merzlikins and Korpisalo are solid goaltenders. Patrick Laine is Patrick Laine. They have guys there that you could say, okay, this guy might be a player in 2 or 3 years, like, or maybe one more retool before we come out of, you know, this rebuild. Like, did Johnny Gaudreau just go there like 2 or 3 years too early? Like, do they have to retool one more time the rest of that roster before they're set up for success?
Yeah, I think I'm sure you can absolutely make that argument. I think part of it with Johnny Gaudreau too was the lack of pressure. You know, his fiance or wife or girlfriend is very involved in the medical community. Columbus has awesome hospitals. Not that like New Jersey or Philly doesn't, but I think it was just kind of the right place, right time for him. Money's obviously great there. Goes a little bit further than New Jersey or Pennsylvania. So I think there was a few factors. Was he expecting to win right away? Probably. You know, they don't have a bad team by any means on paper. So all of a sudden it's kind of like, oh, what's going on here? But no, I think he's probably okay with the decision still. Like, if you gave him this start and said, hey, this is going to happen, I think I answered your question by saying he still probably does it with all the other factors.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think it's just kind of popped up as you said it, only because like I said, they're a solid team. We're not going to say they're a great team, but they're a solid team as constructed. I just think they're a couple years out, and they might be one or two more years of like retooling and adding pieces and maybe shifting, not necessarily selling off, but just shifting the way that roster is balanced before they're ready.
Yeah, I certainly subscribe to that. Mm-hmm. I absolutely subscribe to that. You know what else I subscribe to, NRD? Our friends over at NordVPN. You familiar with what a VPN is?
It is something I use when I want to watch Connor McDavid highlights.
There you go.
Explicit videos like Connor McDavid highlights because he's tearing up the lead.
Virtual private network. That's what a VPN NRD, a service that protects your internet connection and privacy online. It creates an encrypted tunnel for your data, protects your online identity behind your IP address, and allows you to use public Wi-Fi hotspots safely. You ever go on public Wi-Fi and it's like, that's the easiest place to get hacked? Not with a VPN. What I do, or what I did with a VPN was, are you familiar with the show Letterkenny?
I am.
It used to be only available in Canada, okay? So I would get on a VPN, basically telling the computer network that I was in Canada so I could access the network that it was being streamed on, and I could watch Letterkenny from my apartment in Boston when I went to Northeastern. VPNs are the wave, they're the future, and let NordVPN be your guide. Travel, if you want, if you're going to Cabo, you're going to Toronto, you want to watch American TV, or you're going to England or Qatar for the World Cup, perhaps. I don't know what their network looks like, but VPN's probably the safe move there, I'd imagine.
Probably state-controlled, their network.
Yeah, exactly. VPNs are what you need. Private, secure, and allows you to watch your shows and your content from a different country. So grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/stove, and you'll use code STOVE to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan, plus free threat protection, plus, double plus here, one additional month for free. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, huge discount off your NordVPN plan, plus free threat protection, plus one additional month for free by going to nordvpn.com/stove and using code STOVE. What do you think, NRD? The Devils are real. Toronto's kind of figuring it out as we go. You want to start with Toronto? Do we owe them an apology?
No. Because we'll be vindicated in like three more weeks.
Oh, okay.
The like ebbs and flows of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
You know what? I'll co-sign on that. I think that's, they're a team that who knows what we're getting there.
They're going to be good, right? Like, we know the talent that they have, but at the same time, they're not. There's bad teams, and then there's underachieving teams. Toronto's a habitual underachiever. They're not a bad team. To say any given week in the regular season, and I've, you know, been the guiltiest party, I'll put my hand up, of overreacting or reacting to some degree to Toronto's, you know, ups and downs. Like, they're a good team. They're going to have the ups, and they're also an underachieving team, so they're going to have those downs. I still think that none of this matters when it comes to Toronto Maple Leafs until the first round of the playoffs, if they make it to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And they're faced with a 3-2 series lead in which they lose to a team that is tired and beaten up in the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they still can't get out of the first round. So until that happens, you know, it's just going to go up and down. That's the ride. Welcome to the Toronto Maple Leafs. You must be this tall to ride this ride. And that's how it really goes for them.
There you go. Let's stay in the division. The Boston Bruins are, by all accounts, clicking on, I mean, all fronts. Currently standing atop the Atlantic Division at 12-2. Really good goal differential. Really good up and down the lineup. But the last 2 weeks-ish have been kind of a dumpster fire off the ice.
Yeah.
NRD. And we did not mention this last week because it was sort of fresh and new, kind of looking for details more than anything. I think we have a better idea of the situation here. Would you like to lead off on the Mitchell Miller front?
Yeah, it's just, you know, as you mentioned, we're very transparent on the show. We started recording, and then maybe 5 minutes before we hit the on-air button, or maybe 5 minutes after, that's when the signing kind of came through and was announced, mm-hmm. and it didn't give us enough time to really grasp the scope of things. But it's a stupid move. It's a boneheaded move. There's no justification. Clearly there isn't, because he's no longer a part of the Boston Bruins organization, you know. As a player, he's still, you know, contractually obliged, and that's a whole nother mess in itself. But, you know, it's a dumb, boneheaded move by an organization that has had some questionable decisions from Don Sweeney and Jeremy Jacobs and Cam Neely to some degree since they took over. And for a team that's performing as well as they are, right? you have to now understand that when you make a move and sign Mitchell Miller, you are now throwing the players in that locker room into the fire. Patrice Bergeron has to answer to this. Brad Marchand has to answer to this. David Krejci, all these guys have to answer to the decision that you made, even though they didn't make the decision, because that's how the sport works. That's how the media works. And I think Patrice Bergeron handled it fantastic. He did not for 1 second defend the shield, you know, run back to the mouth, that the hand that feeds him. He from the get-go said, I don't agree with it. The kid's got a lot to learn before he comes into this locker room. And, you know, that's a decision that Don Sweeney and co made. But as far as I'm concerned, he's not mature and he's not welcomed in this locker room. And I commend Patrice Bergeron for being a leader and not just doing, you know, what the organization told him to say or do. Mm-hmm. But it's a dumb situation, because there's no reason why this kid needed to be signed in the National Hockey League. And this is not about cancel culture. It's not about, you know, somebody said the R word when they were 13, 14, 15 years old. That's not what this has to do with. He exhibited, you know, and was convicted on, like, habitual right. behavior of bullying of a black disabled kid. And it was not, you know, giving him wet willies. I mean, there was legit, like, the stuff about the lollipop, I'm not going to look it up. It's disgusting, yeah. And it's wrong, and this kid had issues, and there's no reason why Don Sweeney's going to sit there and justify signing a kid like him because they have a weak prospect pool. Well, let me tell you something. There's plenty of kids over in the O and the Q that could put up 60, 70 points that aren't racist and aren't a shitbag. So it's a bad excuse, and I think it's a black eye on the Boston Bruins organization for no reason. Don Sweeney's an asshole, Cam Neely's ignorant, and Jeremy Jacobs is the mastermind of the whole thing.
Yeah, that's fair. Totally fair. It's not about cancel culture, like you said. It's about being an asshole over a long period of time, especially with little to no remorse. Every apology has been sort of hollow, yeah. And nobody talked to the family of this poor kid who's been going through this for fucking forever. Mm-hmm. Like it's just bullshit, and there's no reason to like that kid. You, as far as I'm concerned, you fucked up your opportunity, man. There's plenty of other kids that aren't a fucking scumbag. Yeah,
exactly. That's kind of my point. Like you said, all week we heard the only excuse for this signing was, you know, Boston's trying to build up their prospect pool and they're giving him another chance. Like, there's plenty of kids out there that just
right.
aren't, you know, assholes to do that with. Like I said, you know, there's been many things said and written about this situation. I don't know how much levity I'm going to provide to it, but, you know, I think we all want to have our opinions heard, and that's what we do on this show. And it's just not right. And again, because there's the detractors that say cancel culture, you know, this kid shouldn't be punished for what he did in middle school or whatever. Yeah. When you make a mistake and you show remorse and you say, that's not who I am, and that's not what I represent. Yeah. You deserve to be, you know, allotted that opportunity again. You did your time. But this kid clearly has not. And I think that's mm-hmm. the bigger issue, right? Not taking away from anything else. Like, what he did was very wrong. And I don't think I'd allow somebody to be in my organization if they did that, even if they showed remorse. But at the same time, he did not. The issue is with the fact that that kid, for, you know, 6 or 7 years now, has not directly apologized, has not learned from his mistakes, and probably still has the same mindset he did when he was 14.
Yeah, years of it, all the stuff that's the victim had posted some stuff like, hey, like he's reached out and been like, let's be friends. It's like, dude, come on. Like, yeah. there's no sincereness here at all. He's just trying to check a box so he can show a GM that, oh no, we're good. We're great. So, an incident is one thing. Habitual behavior is another thing. Mm-hmm. His second chance should be in speaking to kids who are in danger of the same thing. If you want to redeem yourself, man, go make sure this doesn't happen to another kid.
Yep.
Or kids. That's your second chance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So your dream is fucked. Go make sure it doesn't happen to somebody else. That's kind of my point on it. So, and then maybe we'll talk after you do a couple of years of that. Cause it's a mindset. And like you're a parent in this situation. Imagine getting phone calls from teachers and the principal saying, hey, your kid's such a shitbag that like there's this going on and on and on, and just not doing anything about it. I can't understand that. So
listen, that's the bigger issue at play here too. And it's not like not blaming Mitchell Miller, But like, look what, you know, from everything that we heard that's been documented through the courts and accounted for, like, it's not like his parents are any better for that matter.
Exactly. So, and that 9 times out of 10, look at the kid, look at the parent.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's what we'll say on that. Hopefully the victim can move on and is able to enjoy life and is able to get past this. And hopefully Miller can redeem himself in some fashion. Like, you don't want the kid's life to be ruined. This path is probably out of the question because he's been such an asshole for so long, but go do something productive.
I mean, what's
make sure
really,
it doesn't happen to other kids.
What's really fucked up is his life isn't ruined. He's going to make $225K this year. Yeah. I can't buy him out from his contract.
Right. So yeah, that's what I wanted to say on that. Just wanted to mention it. Know that we are certainly thinking about that stuff and we don't have to soapbox it forever. I don't like when people try to make it all about themselves here that some media outlets do, but I did want to mention that because you see this shit a lot.
Yeah.
And a lot of it goes unreported, kind of swept under the rug. So I just, I hope the best for everybody involved in the situation. Speaking of the Bruins, Charlie McAvoy in a bright spot for them. On an extremely hot team, they get potentially their best defenseman back, NRD. You see that going, continuing the run, or is it kind of like, does that mess with the juju in the locker room?
Not at all. The strong get stronger. They are 8-0-0 at home after last night's win. Charlie McAvoy scored in his first game back last night. You take a team with the prowess as, the Boston Bruins, what they're doing right now on the ice, and then you add a piece like Charlie McAvoy, who deserves a Norris Trophy. If he can just continue to play, like if this injury doesn't affect him and he can continue to play at the pace that he's played at in his career, well deserving of a Norris Trophy. So I don't think it messes with any juju. In fact, I think it just keeps them up there, if not propels them even more into that elite status of, one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah. I love Grizzly too. McAvoy, Grizzlick, Clifton's board, like that ends up you on paper, that decor doesn't scream like, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's consistent.
Yeah, it's consistent. And Allmark, for what he's done there, Linus Allmark had a winning record in Buffalo over the last however many years he was there. I don't think people know that. Mm-hmm. Like, do you know how crazy that was? That he was a winning goaltender for the Buffalo Sabres in the last like five seasons. That's ridiculous with how that team has been. So it's just like, wait a second. What? It's just one of those Wayne Gretzky stats that you're like, no way.
Yeah.
No way. Like he's a winning goaltender.
You know how the NBA has like the sixth man of the year? Like it doesn't go to an all-star. It's just a guy that contributes. I feel like Linus Allmark would be in that category of like, you don't realize he's just been so consistent and like held the team together. Like he's not a Vezina winner. He's not a Hart Trophy winner by any
You're
means,
saying,
but he's like the sixth man of the year.
He's Andre Iguodala.
Yeah. He's like the Andre Iguodala of goaltenders award, which I think is a thing of being told they're handing that out next year at the award ceremony. It would go to Linus Allmark.
I like it. Sign me up. I'll write in as a member of the NHL media. No, the awards we do, speaking of McAvoy, We need an offensive defenseman award and we need a defensive defenseman award that's sort of outside the Norris thing. We need a few more awards because I'm tired of talking like Selke, Hart, whatever every year because it's all just
I think we said it last year. We need the Bobby Orr and the Larry Robinson.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. Let's hear real quick NRD from our friends and sponsor of this episode. I'm gonna try that again. Let's hear from our friends and sponsor of this episode, BetterHelp Therapy Online. NRD, been through a lot the last couple of years. Couple losses of my parents, some pandemic stuff, relationships, you name it. BetterHelp has been there for me every step of the way. Unfortunately, life doesn't come with a user manual. So when it's not working for you, it's normal to feel stuck. Therapists are trained to help you figure out the cause of challenging emotions and learn productive coping skills, which makes therapy the closest thing to a guided tour of the complex engine called you. How about that writing? BetterHelp has connected over 3 million people with licensed therapists. It's convenient, secure, and accessible anywhere. 100% online. Huge shouts to Nancy, my online therapist, who's been remarkable and just kind of gets you back on your, not necessarily on your feet. It can if you need it. But for me, it's kind of been a mental tune-up, some maintenance. Every couple weeks, boom, 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 BetterHelp is awesome. Everyone deserves to feel their best, and BetterHelp makes it easier to get started. As the world's largest therapy service, they've matched millions of people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. All the benefits of in-person therapy, plus more convenient, more accessible, and more affordable. Here's what you do. Fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a therapist. If things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. Could not be simpler. And like I said, whether it's grief, maybe it's anxiety, maybe it's sort of just, I feel pretty good, but I'm a little unfocused here at work, or I'm a little down at work, or something going on in your life, whatever it is, you name it, they match you up with somebody who's been there, experienced in XYZ emotions, and they'll get you moving forward. Use it as a tune-up. Use it as a crutch. Use it as a treatment of sorts. Doesn't matter where you are in the spectrum of mental health. You could be great. Check in every once in a while. You could be really going through it and check in more often. BetterHelp is there for you. It's been there for me, and I can't recommend it enough. So get unstuck with BetterHelp. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/stove. Again, betterhelp.com/stove. Let's go to the Devils, NRD. Marty Brodeur, back in the organization after a couple years with the Blues. He was an interim kind of situation there, kind of a consultant, right? And now is more official. Your thoughts on arguably the best goalie of all time getting more of a permanent position with the Devils?
Second best goalie of all time.
Behind Dom Hasek?
Patty Waugh, but...
Okay. That's three pretty good options.
It goes Patrick, Martin, the Dominator, Terry Sawchuk. I don't know. I wasn't around when Terry Sawchuk played, so I can't throw that in the mix. No, but it is cool to see him back at the organization. I do remember him, you know, his best work came with the St. Louis Blues, obviously, on the ice. So interesting that he would leave the blue and yellow for the red and black of the New Jersey Devils. But no, it's good for the team. It's good for the organization. And they're thriving right now. I mean, they're still top three in the league. They look great. We've said on this show about how just getting, you know, not great, but just consistent level of goaltending, that like 904 save percentage, just you see how much that carries a team that can score like the Devils can to you know, success. It's not like it hasn't been there the whole time. It's just they've really lacked in the coaching department and the goaltending department. And, you know, I still think they lack in the coaching department, but they're getting what they need from the goaltenders, which, you know, more directly affects the on-ice performance. And they're thriving because of it. They're a great team, and it's cool. I love when, like, not everybody deserves a job just because they played for the team, but I do enjoy that. That was a shot at Jeff Saturday, by the way.
Nice.
Not everybody deserves to just become the general manager, the coach, just because they were a good player. But, you know, I do like when some guys try to, they don't just, you know, I guess it's not nepotism because that's like in the family, but like when guys aren't just handed like the coaching job or the GM job, but they actually want to be a part of the organization. Let me start, you know, as a pro scout or a, you know, player development kind of coach. And then they work their way up. I always think that's cool. And to see a guy with the stature of Martin Brodeur want to do that is awesome. So kudos.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Keep the, it's fun to see the Devils good and rolling. They're a team that hockey, I feel like, is better for or better with a good New Jersey. Let's go north of the border. Evander Kane, scary moment. Have you, did you watch the video or did you see it kind of going on in real time?
So I won't watch it because I will say this, and I saw the screen grabs of it. So when I played, that was my biggest fear. It wasn't the head injuries. It wasn't the concussions. It was the skates. And, you know, I seen it happen to a couple of friends, you know, to lesser extent than what happened with Evander Kane, but it's always been a fear of mine. So I'm not able to watch that video. Like, honestly, like it's a trigger point for me, but, I'm glad to see that he's all right. It just, the scary thing, and not to be like Debbie Downer over here, it just, it makes you think like how often this happens at like local rinks and whatnot, where the hospital is like 40 minutes away, but Evander Kane, like they have the best medical on site and get him immediately into an ambulance to like the local hospital, or as opposed to, you know, anywhere else across the country, you're in some barn in the middle of, you know, Sheboygan, Wisconsin, and like the hospital's 40 minutes away. It's a tough spot. So it just, that's kind of to give you an insight into the psyche of why that, you know, kind of scares me so much. Is because it happens more than you think, and it's an injury that unique to hockey and other than any other sport. So
we were talking about it in the locker room last night, like, man, this, it's real. I mean, we're playing men's league, we're playing beer league, but like that can still happen. Granted, there's no contact, so it's, or you know, limited contact, so it gets,
fall in a corner or something like that.
You fall in a corner and you fall in front of the net and just kind of things happen. And so it's just like you're a little extra careful on the skates after seeing something like this. Glad to hear he's gonna be okay. He's gonna be out 3 to 4 months, it sounds like, with you know, it's one thing the blood, like blood vessels and arteries are remarkably resilient. Once you patch those up, the body has a really good way of healing that stuff. But it's the tendons and stuff like that. When you get the nerves and the tendons, that's what takes a long time to heal or regenerate. A lot of the times you have to take a tendon from somewhere else and pop it in.
Why, like, the wording, you know, from the medical side of things, when he came out of, you know, the hospital, the wording was procedure and not, you know, stitches or anything like that, because he had that damage to, you know, the ligaments and the wrist. Because, like, you know, like you said, veins and vessels and all that shit, they bleed like crazy. They bleed like a stuck pig, and that's why there was so much blood. But those are, you know, if you get enough pressure on that and tourniquet that up, he'll be all right. It's more so, you know, basically sliced through every tendon in his wrist, which is so that's the issue with him.
So glad to hear he'll be okay. He'll be back. It'll take some rehab. It'll take a long time. I'm sure there'll be a little bit of you know, some nerves, right? It's kind of like a pitcher coming out after Tommy John. Like, you don't want to ramp it up too quick. Skates get a little, you know, I've had buddies get stepped on, like on their, not on their Achilles, but kind of in the front of the boot. And they don't get cut necessarily, but that you do pop a tendon. And it's just the confidence level. And you're always a little, holding your stick a little tightly out there. So hoping the best for him. He's been through a lot. Some deserved criticism of Evander Kane, some undeserved, maybe from a certain Twitter account or Instagram account that might be from a certain member of his family at some point. So there's a lot going on with him. Obviously, behind the scenes, obviously, we haven't been the biggest fan of his for good reason on some occasions. But when it comes to injuries and health, you always want people healthy. So best of luck to Evander Kane. And his recovery. Glad to hear he's going to be able to come back and play. Let's stay with the last name Kane. What can you tell us about what's happening with the Chicago Blackhawks? Maybe a little better start than some people expected, but two balloon contracts in Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews that have been talked about being movable, perhaps, NRD?
Yeah, they're movable with the 50%, you know, salary retain. I mean, Kane, I would have to look up the Toews thing, but, you know, the Patrick Kane contract is so engraved into my brain after how many questions I got about it in the offseason. So at 50%, he's basically like 4.25 or in that range for a team that's acquiring him. That's very attainable. You know, as we know, the cap space accrues daily as you get closer to the deadline. So a team that can save up, you know, $4.5 million, you're going to have a shot at Patrick Kane. Now, the Chicago Blackhawks have said that they're not going to move Kane at this time and that Kane isn't interested in a trade right now, especially because of that start that you mentioned. They've been decent. And it seems like everything's kind of up for grabs in the West right now with the faltering Colorado, and St. Louis has been on a skid, and Minnesota's not playing consistent, and Seattle's like one of the best teams in the West, and that, you know, just waiting for the shoe to drop there with them. So, like, I think Chicago is in that situation where it's like kind of wait and see because of the moves that, you know, Stan Bowman made in the past couple of years with the acquiring of, you know, Seth Jones and all these moves. Like, you kind of have to wait and see, because if you commit to a full rebuild when you're still kind of competitive, you're giving up a chance at making the playoffs, which should be valuable for that organization. And you never know when it comes to playoff hockey, if a team gets hot or you get hot goaltending or you face a team with cold goaltending, you could steal a couple of games. So I think it's at a standstill right now on Patrick Kane. Jonathan Toews, there's teams interested in him. I think there's a beautiful fit in Edmonton. playing on the line with Connor McDavid. That would be fantastic to see. There's a couple of fits out in the Eastern Conference. I think Boston, who's looked for a center for so long, and they brought back David Krejci at such an affordable rate that maybe at 50% retained, they can make that move come deadline season. But there's fits for Jonathan Toews, but I think you're in the same bucket there where it's like he's the heart and soul of that team. He's been the captain forever. Do you really want to move him until you know for sure that you're out of it? And I think that's where I keep wanting to say Colorado. I think that's where Chicago is with a lot of these guys right now, is do we really want to trade the heart and soul staples of this club until we know for sure that we have to make that move? And I think teams are calling. I think teams are getting shut down right now.
It's interesting. I mean, they should. If you like, they're gonna have to studs this thing at some point, mm-hmm. and it's gonna start with those two. It has to in a way, because you can't rebuild until you rebuild. And those two are, I'm sure not looking to do that. And they're probably saying, well, we have the cap space. Let's just make things happen. And so just a weird situation there. And then they start off okay, and all of a sudden it's like, well, we're kind of riding some momentum. And same thing with the Coyotes. Avalanche are going to get healthy at some point. The Wild will get healthy at some point. But Predators and Blues are two teams in their division that are just like, what's going on there? Mm-hmm. Especially the Blues. I mean, that's been, we talked about it last week. Like, what's the deal? It doesn't, like, their goal differential is not even, and they're just losing weird bounce games. They're getting smoked a lot of the time.
I mean, they won last night. They stopped the skid. There were, from what I saw on Twitter, there were some brown paper bags over the heads of St. Louis fans out there. So it's already falling apart. But no, it goes to show you that things are up for grabs. And, you know, you mentioned Nashville. We're talking about St. Louis right now. And there are other teams out there. They're really only, in my eyes right now, there is only one really, really good team in the West. And that's the Vegas Golden Knights. Outside of them, you look at the other two teams that are top of the Pacific Division. It's the Los Angeles Kings and the Seattle Kraken. So yep. I think things are just wide open in the Western Conference right now, whereas the East, we've had our staples for some years now. The Boston Bruins, the New York Islanders, you know, except for last year, the Rangers are good, Carolina's good. I think things are wide open right now. And, you know, going back to the Evander Kane thing, I wouldn't be surprised if that injury hurts the Oilers more than we really think of in the moment. Evander Kane's been a big contributor for them.
Huge, huge contributor. That's why, you know, if you're going to make a move, do you do it now? And because it's not like, you know, if Evander Kane was going to come back in 3 or 4 weeks, you kind of just, okay, let's hold down the fort for a little bit. But no, that's three, you know, at least 3 months. And that's one of those injuries that even when he comes back, it's not going to be 100%. He'll be able to play, but that shot will be affected. Mm-hmm. That passing will be affected. The confidence will be affected. They'll be fine. Conditioning, I'm sure, won't be a problem. He'll be able to skate and do everything all the time. But it's going, the stick side of that game is going to be affected for sure until he has a full offseason to really let that thing heal.
Absolutely. And I think,
'cause you know, he's going to want to get back on the ice as soon as possible.
Yeah. And he's going to be skating within the next, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. I think the issue with making that move now, and this is not so much an Edmonton issue, but just an issue, you know, a consequence of them wanting to make a move now, because things are so wide open, and because teams that we expected to kind of be bottom dwellers are better than expected right now, mm-hmm. who's really available across the league? Philly, a team that we expected to be in the bottom half of the league, is up there. The Islanders are good again. The Devils are great. You know, the Eastern Conference staples of the Rangers, the Canes, the Bruins, those teams aren't selling off. Maybe you can look at Montreal. Columbus, the only two guys I think that really provide a value to the Edmonton Oilers that replicates Kane is, you know, Patrick Laine and Johnny Gaudreau. They're not going anywhere. So, like, unless you can go hit up Arizona and try to pry one of Clayton Keller or one of those guys out of there, I don't really know where Edmonton's addition comes from, because teams are still trying to find their footing. And when you look at those bottom dwellers like Detroit and whatnot, that we would have thought were sell-off clubs, they're in the thick of things. They don't want to make those moves right now. They want to see where things, you know, progress as we get closer to March. So that's the issue with Edmonton wanting to make a move now.
I'll throw a name in the mix. Victor Olofsson.
But Buffalo, I mean, are you giving up the run? Because they're still in the thick of things.
No, I'm saying that as I don't want it to happen, but there's a little bit of call it smoke there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No, so I'm gonna leave it at
that. I'm gonna leave it there. I don't want this to happen. But there's
ruminate on that, Cold Stove.
We'll do some ruminating on that. Before we get out of here for the day, NRD, some retired player news. Louis Eriksson and Niklas Hjalmarsson heading over to Sweden to play in some leagues over there, which got me thinking, is there any market in your mind for like the Champions Tour of the NHL? Where it's like guys who are recently retired playing some sort of competitive hockey if they want to. Not kind of this non-contact game.
See, hockey's a tough sport to do that in. And it's much like football.
I kind of agree.
It's like golf, it works because you can golf till you're 85. It's just these guys don't want to play in 4-round tournaments, you know, it's, you know, 80-man field anymore. So they go to the Champions Tour and they collect, you know, million-dollar purses left and right. It works in, you know, I'm trying to think, like it could work in the NBA, like the Big Three league, right? It works in the in basketball because that's another sport where it's not as physical as it once was, but you got some younger guys like, you know, Glenn Davis and, you know, Jason Williams, and these guys can still play and still handle the ball and can shoot, and they just don't have to play that physical game anymore. I think hockey's a sport where it's too physically demanding, and when guys give it up, they're giving it up for a reason. They're not giving it up because they're still in shape to play the game. And I think that's the bump in the road, the wall, if you will, to having a Champions Tour of the NHL. It's just that. I don't think these guys want to stop playing. I think they're doing it because they physically can't anymore. So to tell them to go back out there is just, it's tough. And I don't think anybody wants to watch that either.
Yeah, it's fun for the alumni game, or like at the Winter Classic, you do the alumni on the pond or something like that. That's fun watching it once. I agree with you. I don't think there's a league potential. And by the way, on the Victor Olofsson thing, I'm not saying smoke like gonna happen. I'm saying there's like if there's pieces on the move to somewhere,
he's one of them.
He's one of them. Yeah. Yeah. So that's all I mean by that. I'm not don't directly connect those just yet, but that's a piece.
There you go.
If you will. Lastly, PK Subban retired from the NHL and going right into the ESPN analyst role. How many of us saw this coming? And is there anyone, unless you were living under a rock, that did not see this coming?
I think they announced it like last year.
At least it was a kind of he would help out, right?
Yeah, it was like he'd contribute. And then so it was known. He's going to kill it. PK's awesome. He's a great personality. I had the chance to meet him once. Really, really genuine guy. Like the whole, it's not an act. He's a good guy. He's a competitor on the ice, and he's had his brush ups, you know, playing the sport. But in terms of what he does in the community, what he did in Montreal and Nashville and New Jersey, and now his contributions to the game outside of the on ice stuff has been tremendous. I wish him all luck. He's going to crush it.
Agreed. Like his takes. Like his personality, knows the game obviously incredibly well. So good addition there. And you know what? I've been happy with coverage, sort of across the board. I think TNT continues to do a good job. I think ESPN Plus has some issues with who is calling the game, and I also don't like how their audio has sort of been off a couple times, where the audio is kind of ahead of the video feed, which is just a weird experience, and I don't know why they can't figure that out. For the most part, it's nice to see the NHL getting more spread out across network television and platform and streaming, and there's a lot of momentum there, and it's not just NBC Sports anymore.
You don't have to be so coy with who's calling the games.
No, I know. I don't want to rag on people because I know it's not that they're trying to be
bad. They're just not good at it.
They're just not good.
That's the thing. I was having this discussion the other day, and you know, I don't know if we want to say names. I think you can all figure out who we're talking about over on the ESPN Plus side of things. Like, they have a lot of talent, so it's not anything of that. Like, I think Blake Bolden will have a great career in the media. I think she's awesome. You know, AJ Molesko is great. Hillary Knight's been great in her appearances on ESPN in the studio. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's not that issue. It's that objectively, you know, just not necessarily the best at doing play-by-play. And that's okay. That's right. Not a bad thing. On the flip side, I think that Buchagross is not that great at play-by-play either, if we're being honest.
Sure. He gets over his skis a little bit too, and he's good. He's obviously super knowledgeable and a great guy. And then it's for some people, and not for others.
I don't think he's the best either. Honestly, I think the best play-by-play guy that ESPN has right now is Bob Wischusen.
Oh, he's great.
He's fantastic. He kills every role he does. So
bring back Gary Thorne, NRG. I'm waiting.
Is that where we're going with this? Yeah, bring him back.
Bring back Gary. Anyway, that's going to do it for us today on Cold Stove Pod. NRD, anything before we bounce out of here?
All good. Happy Jack Eichel week. We can now end this week. Remember, we started with remember the 4th of November, and we are finishing it with a Jack Eichel hat trick in Buffalo.
This chapter
of our story is over. My friends, I will see you on Twitter at NHL Rumors Daily. Not leaving. Although, you know, it's been tough out there. The real world has got your boy in the past couple of weeks and months, but we will always be on there interacting with you guys, and we'll be here at Cold Stove Pod. I'm always here. So
my man, enjoy your weekend. NRD, I am Brett Merriman at Schmerriman on both Twitter and Instagram. We are at Cold Stove Pod on Twitter and Instagram as well. Enjoy everybody's weekend. Watch some hockey. Happy almost Thanksgiving. We'll talk about that next weekend. NRD, what's your favorite Thanksgiving food item?
Sweet potato casserole. Mm, marshmallows, very pecans. Nice.
Whole nine. Give me a tie for me between pecan pie and my dad's recipe mac and cheese. Ooh. That I do on the side. Mac and cheese is Thanksgiving food. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. NRD, that'll do it for us at Cold Stove. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you guys next week.
See you.